Welcome to the audio version of our Sunday service. You're very welcome as you come to join us. My name's Richard, I'm minister in Burnside, and thank you for taking the time to listen today. We know that we're open on a Sunday and you're more than welcome to come and join with us, but for some of you that's maybe a step too far at the moment. So do stay safe and do listen and do worship God together. And we pray that as we spend this time together, that God may speak to us and may encourage us. There's a lot coming up in our service with various people taking part today. So let's pray that we would know God's blessing upon us as we gather in his name today. Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thank you for joining with us for our worship online today. Of course, you can come and join us on a Sunday in the church building at 11 o'clock for worship. And you can listen to the service as a podcast and also by phoning the telephone line, the number for which is on our church website. And do let anyone who doesn't have internet access know that they can phone that local number and listen to the service each week. It's great that you're able to join with us today because I'm very excited about what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. Our Presbyterian Church has launched a scheme called Refine, where we're looking together at how we can be refined by God through this present crisis that we're facing. And today we're going to begin a little series where we're thinking about the things that we should hold lightly in our hands and the things that we should hold tightly from God as he refines us and as he works in our lives. This present crisis that we're facing doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. So we need to look at what God is doing and how God is shaping and the things that he wants us to learn in this whole process. And so today we're going to be looking at our priorities and the things that shouldn't be important to us and the things that really should be important that God has given to us. We're going to be looking together from 1 Corinthians and a strange chapter from 1 Corinthians 7 and a practical passage from 1 Corinthians 3. And in 1 Corinthians 3, this idea of being refined by the fire and holding tightly to building with God are all combined together. In verses 12 to 13, it says, "If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work." And so today we're going to see that the day will test us. The day is coming when Jesus will return, but the day of this present crisis is with us right now. And the way that we've been building our lives is going to be tested, whether we built with gold and silver or we built cheaply with wood and hay and straw. And as our faith is tested, we'll then see how that stands up. And today, hopefully, together we'll find out that how our faith can be strengthened as we hold tightly to God. So I pray that God will speak to each one of us through this service and that we will know his blessing with us. And we're going to sing together the church's one foundation after we pray. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the foundation of Jesus Christ in our lives. Help us to build firmly and securely with good materials of gold and silver that are costly but are worth it, so that whenever we are refined in this present crisis and in the day to come, that we will be refined and that our faith will stand the test and that we will be drawn closer to you. So Lord, be with us in this time of worship, we pray, and may we know your continued leading and guiding in all that we do. Amen.
For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together today to worship you. We thank you for all those people who are unselfishly helping others in so many ways during the present pandemic. We pray for those people who are facing restrictions, both social and economic, and for those who are lonely, cut off from their loved ones. Encourage and support them. May those who are sick feel the mercy of your healing hand. Be with those who are feeling stress as they wait for operations and tests that they cannot get. We pray for all those in education, and especially first-year uni students, away from home for the first time, who are struggling to cope with the virus and a restricted lifestyle without the support of family and friends. We pray for families that are separated and worried that they will not be able to meet together to celebrate Christmas and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for Zimbabwe and its people, particularly its pensioners who are suffering from the ravages of the COVID virus and raging inflation without the safety net of a welfare state. We pray for those scientists working throughout the world to find a vaccine for COVID-19 and ask that you encourage and inspire them. We ask that you encourage and guide our executive to set aside political differences and inspire them to agree a way forward that all can support to defeat this virus. We thank you for the leadership of our Minister Richard in these unprecedented times, and pray that you will continue to encourage and support him and his wife, Deirdre. We ask for your blessing on them both. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to begin today by reading a rather strange passage of Scripture. I know we've already read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll come back to that passage a little later. But I want to set context by turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And you may wonder to yourself why I'm reading this passage. Why choose this passage? What relevance has this for us today? And as I read it, try not to get caught up with the detail of the passage, but see if you can follow the broad themes and ideas that are presented for us. I'll give you a clue. Listen carefully to the first few words of what I read, and that will set the scene as to where we're going and give you an idea as to why I'm reading it. It's a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul appears to be talking about the merits of getting married or staying single. In fact, that is what he is talking about. And you might think as we read through it, surely there are much more important issues for us to be thinking about today. There are all sorts of things going on in the world. There's a global pandemic. There's an economic downturn where there are lockdown restrictions left, right and centre. And you want to read to us about getting married and staying single. Have you lost your mind? And if I was going to follow this reading with a sermon about marriage, then I couldn't agree with you more. I have completely lost the plot. But Paul is writing to the Corinthians at a time of crisis. He's responding to some questions that they have sent him, either by sending messengers or by writing a letter to Paul. And they've asked a number of questions about how they should live their lives and what they should be doing. And Paul is providing an answer to them. And in providing the answer, he's helping us think through this present crisis. Paul may be writing to the Corinthians at a time of famine. We're not sure what the crisis is, but that would seem to fit in with the timing of the letter. And they seem to have asked, well, what about marriage? Is that a good idea at a time of such uncertainty? And Paul writes the following to them. And you'll see from the first few words how it fits in with our particular situation. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 26 to 35. So let's hear God's word together. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they have none. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if they were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord, but a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of the world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Amen. So here we have this strange passage, but keep it open in front of you as we look at some of the detail of it. So what do you make of this? Well, the main thrust of what Paul is writing to the Corinthians is this. He's saying, hold lightly to the things of this world. Don't hold on so tightly to the things of this world that you miss what God is doing. Now, he's not saying that you should just ditch the things of this world. He's just saying hold lightly to them. He's not telling people who are married to get rid of that marriage and get divorced. No, he's saying the opposite. But he is saying that you should live as though you weren't married, which is a strange concept for us to try and imagine. But he's just saying live lightly. Don't hold on so tightly that you forget about God. The Corinthians have written with a whole list of questions for Paul to answer. And time again, he seems to be saying throughout 1 Corinthians, whatever it is you're thinking about, whatever the problem is, hold lightly to the things of this world. Because the things of this world are the things that are causing you problems and causing you trouble. They are the things that are taking you away from God. And in this section where he addresses marriage, Paul deals with a lot of issues that apply today. So first of all, he says, hold lightly to the things of this world because of this present crisis. And he could quite easily be saying that to us today. Look at verse 26 where we see that. Because of the present crisis, I think that it's good for you to remain as you are. Because of the present crisis, Paul tells the Corinthians to remain as they are, to hold lightly to the things of the world, to work out their priorities. See what God wants you to do and let go of anything that gets in the way of God. He realizes that they are going to face a lot of challenges in this present crisis that they're facing. And there's a danger in finding comfort in the wrong things, finding comfort in things that are not God. And we can see that happening in the world today, where people look elsewhere and hold tightly to other things rather than holding on to God. So we're to hold lightly to the things of God because of the present crisis. The things that aren't God should be held lightly in an open hand so that we don't rely on them in the present crisis, and so that God can take them away if he wants to. So this is where marriage fits in. Don't think that marriage is going to be the answer to all of your problems. God is the answer. In a time of crisis, don't think that, well, if only I was married or if only I wasn't married, this would be better. God is saying, no, God is the answer, not marriage or lack of marriage. Don't reach out and grab marriage to be the solution. Reach out and grab God, because he is the solution. Hold lightly to everything else and hold on to God. Corrie ten Boom, who has appeared a number of times on our blog for various reasons, famously said, hold everything in your hands lightly, otherwise it hurts when God pries open your fingers. And so that's a wonderful thought, that we should hold everything in our hands lightly so that God doesn't have to prize open our hands to take something away, that we're willing to give it to God should he desire it. So what is it that we are holding on to too tightly at the moment to see us through this present crisis? Do we need to open up our hands and present that thing to God and allow him to take it if he wants? Has it become too much for us? Have we built our whole lives around it? Then we need to open our hands lightly. Hold lightly to the things of this world, because Paul goes on to say, time is short. That's how we should approach this present crisis. As Paul says in verse 29, what I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none, he says. The time is short. And therefore, we need to be doing what God wants us to do and not getting sidetracked by anything else. Paul uses an extreme example here of marriage. But he's basically saying to us, don't allow marriage to take you away from God. Don't use it as an excuse. It's not an excuse. It should allow you to continue serving God rather than taking you away from God. It's an extreme example, but it's a little bit like Jesus saying in Mark chapter 9, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And then Jesus went on to say, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. Paul is not telling us to abandon marriage. He is saying, don't use marriage as an excuse to do nothing for the kingdom. Time is short. Therefore, get on with serving in the kingdom. You only have a certain amount of time left. This present crisis should make you realize that even more, Paul's saying, and that applies to us today. So hold lightly to the things of the world and get on with God. Now, of course, here Paul is talking about the present crisis that they are facing, but he's also looking ahead to the second coming and warning us that time is running out as we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus. And so we need to be ready, because time is short. And then thirdly, hold lightly to the things of this world, because this world is passing away. If we keep reading on in verse 31, Paul gives us another reason to hold lightly. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away. The world is decaying. The world is suffering from the effects of sin. Remember, a couple of weeks ago at our harvest service, we were thinking about how creation is groaning because of the sinfulness of man. And the world is slowly falling apart. The world that was created perfectly by God is decaying and falling apart. And it could be seen in Paul's day with this crisis, whether it was a famine or whatever it was. And it can be seen in our day as we see the pandemic sweeping. It is as a result of sin that disease has entered into the world and death has entered into the world. It can be seen because of the rejection of God. And Paul is saying, hold lightly to these things around you because they are passing away. This world is passing away. Don't put all your security in the things of the world because they are falling apart. The things that you work hard to grab hold of, that you think are important, are actually passing away with this world. In a very short time, they will not be important anymore. And maybe you've reached that stage in your life where you realize that those things that you fought hard for all your life are not the things that are important. Yes, we need things in our lives to help us day by day. It's hard to survive without a job, without a bank account, but hold lightly, Jesus says, because God may have other plans. Hold lightly because they are all passing away. So if we hold lightly to all of those things, what else should we do? What is the alternative? Well, if we go back to the passage from 1 Corinthians 3, then we see that we should hold tightly to the things of God. Hold lightly to the things of the world. Hold tightly to the things of God. It's all very well holding lightly to the things of this world. But Paul has some more instructions for the Corinthians. And we find those instructions in 1 Corinthians 3, that passage that was read for us earlier. To summarize, before we look at the instructions, Paul is saying, hold tightly to the things of God. Hold lightly to the things of this world. Hold tightly to the things of God. And we're going to explore these two ideas a little bit more over the next few weeks together. So hold tightly to the things of God. Build with God. Paul is writing to the Corinthians to help them. And there are problems in the church. Not only are they facing this present crisis, but there are also a few divisions that have come about in the church. Instead of acting like mature believers, they're quarreling and there are divisions. They're acting like spiritual children. And if you were to read the beginning of chapter 3, they're even quarreling about how they came to faith. Imagine that. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Verses 4 and 5 of 1 Corinthians 3. Paul says that we are to remember that we build with God. God is much more important than any earthly differences that we might have. As we seek to build church together, God unites us. There are no other divisions in the church. We build with God. And that's what we read in verse 9 earlier. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Hold tightly to the things of God by building with God. And this is important to remember because God has no favorites. It means that we're all equal in his sight. There's no class divisions with God. There are no gender divisions with God. There are no racial divisions with God. There are no political divisions with God, for we are God's fellow workers. We need to hold tightly to that and let go of the divisions. Then secondly, hold tightly to the things of God and build on the right foundation. You've probably heard this hundreds of times in your Christian life. Build on the right foundation. If I ask you today what that foundation should be, that your life should be built upon, I guarantee that we would have a chorus coming back of Jesus. Jesus is the foundation. Paul puts it like this. In 1 Corinthians 3, 10, 11, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So hold tightly to the foundation of Jesus Christ. Build everything on that foundation. That means whatever we do in our lives and whatever we do in church has to be built on the foundation of Jesus. And practically, that means that whatever we go to do, we should examine it carefully to see if it can be built on top of the foundation of Jesus. I have a long time interest in computers and electronic gadgets. And a number of years ago, I bought a music player, and it was a particular make. And I liked it so much that I started buying other things of the same make, the same brand, so that they would all fit together. So now, over time, my computer, my mobile phone, all those things are all made by the same company, and they all work together. They're all connected with each other. They all work together very easily. Now, whenever I go to buy something new, the first question I ask myself is, will this work with what I've already got? If it's by another company, will it fit in with the things that I have? Or will it be a little bit too complicated to try and get to work? Will I have to jump through a few hoops to make sure that they all talk to each other and they all work the way they're supposed to? I made that decision years ago, and I'm sticking with it. Lots of people have told me at times to change, to not stick so rigidly to it. Ah, don't worry about that. Sure, you can get it to work this way or that way. And in fact, at times I've nearly broken my rule and bought something that doesn't fit in just because it looked good and I really wanted it. Now let's get back to the foundation of Jesus Christ. If we have made the decision to build on Jesus, then everything else, and I really do mean everything else in life, has to fit with Jesus. It's no good bringing something else into our lives that we have to manipulate a bit to fit with Jesus, or maybe just skew things slightly, but we think, ah, we'll get away with it just because it's nice and just because we want it. It has to absolutely fit with Jesus. If it doesn't fit with Jesus, it has no place in our lives at all. And that may be difficult at times, and that may cause us problems at times, and it may mean that we'll miss out on some of the things that we see others around us doing. But if Jesus is the foundation, that's what it practically means to build on that foundation. Oh, folk may tell us, oh, it's harmless, don't worry about it. You can still have Jesus and do this. But if it's not built upon Jesus, it will cause us harm. It will cause us endless problems. We need to hold tightly and build on the foundation of Jesus. Next, we have to hold tightly to the things of God and build with the best material. The temptation is to build what is quick and easy. The temptation is to build what is cheap, to lower our standards because we think to ourselves, well, what difference will it make? If I do this or that, it's not really going to impact on the rest of my life. I can still have Jesus. But Paul warns us that our building work is going to be tested. And if we haven't built with the best material, then it will be patently obvious. Verses 12 to 15. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. We need to build with the best materials that God has given to us. Not accept the cheap substitutes from the world. Maintain our standards and build with the best materials on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And then finally, we need to hold tightly to the things of God and build up, not tear down. It's easy to criticize. It's easy to tear others down. It's easy to be negative. It's easy to pull others apart. It is much more difficult to build up, to encourage, to find the positive in life. I'm sure you've encountered people during the present crisis who always think they know better. Whenever government decides something, they have heard that the opposite is better. Whatever the medical experts say, they have read the opposite. They gain notoriety by knowing better than everyone else, by tearing down rather than building up, by spreading fear rather than helping. And it can be the same in churches sometimes as well. There are always so-called experts who always know that what you're doing is wrong, but can never offer an alternative. We need to be building up, not tearing down, holding on to the things of God and encouraging others in their faith rather than causing them to stumble. We're to build up the church, the people of God. Paul says in verses 16 and 17, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. We are to hold tightly to God and build up rather than tear down, because we see God in one another and we're to encourage one another. So today we need to hold lightly to the things of this world and then hold tightly to the things of God. Hold tightly to our salvation built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and trust him and follow him. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to recognize the things that we are to hold lightly in our lives. And Lord, help us to realize what is important, what the priority is, and to hold tightly to you and to Jesus Christ and to your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, day by day to live for you in this way. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together now at the end of our service, and we're going to sing All I Once Held Dear, Built My Life Upon. Looking at our lives, what's important, what's not important, realizing the priorities, and realizing that knowing Jesus is the most important thing. Today then, we've been thinking about what is most precious to us and the things that we need to let go of and the things that we need to hold on to tightly. So as we finish our time of worship, let's ask that God would help us to know the difference between what we need to hold on to and what we need to hold lightly, and that he would bless us in the days ahead. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this time of worship, we pray that you would help us to recognize the things that we should hold lightly in this world. The things, Lord, that we shouldn't become too attached to, but that we should offer, that if you want to take them, that you are able to do so. But Lord, also help us to recognize the things that we must hold tightly to today. That we would hold tightly to you, our Heavenly Father. That we would hold tightly to our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. That we would hold tightly to your Holy Spirit with us each day of our lives. For we ask all of this now in your name. Amen.